It was a cold fall day, September 21st, 1991. Steam was coming up off that camp pool. It was 50 degrees outside in September. When I heard the words, "I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Felt like slow motion. Just felt like the whole world slowed down as I was laid back into that water. That was the last day of my old life and the first day of my new life. It was a joyful day. It was a wonderful evening. An evening that even though I've lost my memory, it's an evening I remember. It's etched. Unfortunately, the years prior were not quite as joyful as that day. For 3 years prior to that, I struggled with what turned into a pretty deep and dark depression. I was overwhelmed by some decisions I had made as a freshman in high school. Bad decisions. From that point on, dealing with depression, I had very embarrassing anxiety attacks and fits of rage. I was an angry person. I was a hurt person. I was filled with anger. I was filled with hate. I was filled with a lot of hurt. And I didn't sleep well. And I started losing weight because I wasn't eating well either. And I don't know if it was the hate or the despair or what part of it, but the thought of suicide became more and more realistic through those years. But I had one problem. I had a basic belief in heaven and hell. And I figured if I killed myself, then in my state, I'd probably go straight to hell. I wasn't a Christian. I went to church on Easter, and then every once in a while, sometime during the Christmas season, well, C&E Christians there is what we were. And I've shared this story with a number of you, either one-on-one. I know I've shared little parts of it at different times. And I tell you, I can promise you that you're going to hear it again and again, from time to time. I'll try to make sure there's some space in there so you don't get sick of it. But it's my testimony. It's what I have. It's what's unique to me as far as the story of how God reached me and saved me. Because see, in the midst of these thoughts of suicide and that paired up with my dilemma of there being a possible hell or a possible heaven, I went to God's Word. I went to the Bible. I didn't go to it seeking peace or comfort. I didn't go to it looking to feel loved or to learn about Jesus. No, I went to God's Word because I was going to prove it wrong. Because God's Word is where you find out about hell. And if God's Word was wrong, then there'd be no heaven, there'd be no hell, and then I could take my life and without any fear of what was going to come next. As I started reading the first book of the New Testament. It happened to be the Gospel of Matthew. As I started reading, I started getting to know this guy, Jesus. I slowly started to forget why I originally went to the Bible. As I started reading through, I started seeing this guy and getting a chance to know Jesus and just how smart he really was. And if you've been reading through the Gospels, just get through there and you're like, man, this guy's sharp. He's got a wit that just doesn't quit. They'd back him in a corner, and he'd slip out. He wouldn't slip out through some crack or something. He'd slip out right down the middle of them. Bold. You couldn't corner this guy. You couldn't get this guy stuck. And I was just amazed at how awesome he was. He was always right. You know, and as I was about halfway through, I started getting a clue about things. I started saying, you know, this guy, he's never wrong about things. And he says that I'm valuable to him. This guy, every time he tells someone to do something, it was always the right thing to do. And they'd end up on the other side and things would be better for him. And he was asking me to give my life to him. And I thought, you know, maybe this isn't a bad idea. He talked about peace and joy, love and fulfillment, words that were really foreign to my life at that time. And by the time I was about 3/4 of the way through Matthew, I decided that this was what I needed to do. I wanted to give my life to Jesus. So I'd proven to myself at the age of 14 and then going through that depression until about 17, my high school years, that I couldn't live successfully on my own choices. And I'd pretty much given up on life anyway. So here's a guy who's got it all together. He's always right, and he's saying, just give your life to me. So I did. So on that cold day in September, I gave my life to Jesus. And I did that because I'd come into contact with the power that's in this book. That decision was made because I got to know Jesus just from reading the book, just from reading the Bible. And there's something different. There's something infectious about this book that got into me. You know, I just received a phone call recently from a friend, and they had called up, and they asked me, they said, where's that verse in the Bible that talks about the Word of God being a double-edged sword? Before they could even finish their sentence, I blurted it out and said, Hebrews 4:12. That felt good. You know, doesn't it feel good when you just spit it right out? Well, you know, I have a confession to make. That's not really normal for me. I know I'm a preacher, and you expect me to have the whole Bible memorized, but the reality is that that's not the truth. I can get you to a general location where a certain subject might be discussed. You know, the Bible's kind of just blocks for me. I'm not an exact scripture verse type person. I can get you to maybe a book, you know, that would deal with the subject. And sometimes if it's a big book, narrow you down to a few chapters. You know, for my precision work, see, I have this thing called a laptop. And I've got this program in there I've got verses that float around up here. And if I can find just a couple words that go into that verse, then I'm just a mouse click away from finding the exact verse I'm looking for. So maybe I've become a little lazy there. But there are certain verses that have just really planted themselves into my heart. Verses that, boy, I can't just whip those out just with just scripture and the chapter and the verse. Because they're special to me. There's something about them that's gained some meaning, and they've attached themselves to me. And this verse, the reason why I knew it that day, it wasn't because I just studied it that morning. The reason I knew it that day is because that verse is one of those verses, Hebrews 4:12, and it's a powerful verse to me because of this part of the testimony that I shared, my testimony I shared with you this morning about God's Word and how it got into my life. Because Hebrews 4:12 reads that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. That verse is special to me because I know the power of God's Word. And I look at that verse and I say, you know, that verse doesn't, it's not a hyperbole at all. It doesn't exaggerate God's Word in the least bit. That verse is dead on accurate to what God's Word is. And I've been on the receiving end of God's Word many times. I know firsthand that when nothing else could cut to the core of who I am, God's Word can. When nothing else could give me hope, God's Word came along and gave me hope. No matter how good my parents were, or how loved I was by them, I didn't feel like I was valuable. But God's Word came along and showed me that I was valuable. Very valuable to God, to Jesus. There's a quality about God's Word that I really can't put a finger on it. And one of the reasons I like this verse is because I think this verse puts the best finger on it that I've found. He says, it's living and active. There's something about this book that's different, isn't there? Different than any other book that you'll find on your bookshelf, any other book you'll find in the Cincinnati library. It's alive. It has a quality to it that sometimes I expect to hear a heartbeat from it in the quiet of the morning. And the more I get of it, the more I dig in, the more I eat of God's Word, the more I hunger for more and more and more. It has the ability to actively deal with my life on a very personal level every day. And I believe this. I do. I wouldn't do what I do if I didn't. I'm a product of it. It saved my life. Not just my spiritual life. I truly believe it saved my physical life. I don't know what would have happened if I'd have continued down that road. It's hard to revisit that time in my life because it was so dark. and it gives me life today. We're going to be talking about God's Word today. And in doing so, I'd like for you to turn to Psalm 19. You open your Bibles right in the middle. You should end up somewhere in Isaiah, maybe in Psalms. If you end up in Isaiah, you can turn backwards. Psalms 19. We're going to take a look at a passage that reminds us of the constant value of God's Word. Now, some of the things that we're going to look at today, actually most of them, are probably going to be review, things you've heard before, things that maybe you've experienced before. But I want to give us a good reminder. Psalm 19, starting in verse 7. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul." The law of the Lord is perfect. We're just going to take this half verse by half verse. In a world where we live in, where there's so many promises that really aren't promises, are they? Right? I mean, we get a lot of promises and they're exaggerations. Or we get promises and we know flat out they're lies. In a world where we give our allegiance to different things skeptically, because we've lived and learned that we can't trust things. We have to be skeptical. We have to be careful because everything is so corrupt. In this world we live in, I can tell you there is one source that we can depend on. There is one source that's reliable, and that's God's Word. Why? Because it's perfect. It's right there. I love that introduction there. God's Word is perfect. What's the purpose of its perfection? Right there in that first half of 7. The purpose is reviving the soul. Isn't that neat to hear? It's perfect and it revives the soul. As I've shared with you through my testimony, I personally experienced this. The life-giving source of the Bible. I was as good as dead and giving serious thought to making that death complete. But God's Word brought value to my life. And you know the encouragement that we receive from God's Word, it's really unequaled by any source. Now you think of the encouragement you get from God's Word, it doesn't compare. Even to encouragement that you get from your spouse, or maybe your family, your parents, or maybe a good friend. I mean, they can be very encouraging at times, but their encouragement pales in comparison to the encouragement that we get from God's Word. It is the source of true life, true fulfillment, true joy, true peace. The law of the Lord is perfect, and it revives my soul. Our lives are constantly being drained by various sources, aren't they? I mean, we understand that hunger. We feel pretty empty a lot of times. Different things have drained us of life. I mean, life itself drains us, and we watch it. We can watch it just go down the drain, right? We desperately need our souls to be revived on a regular basis. Amen? Continue with me. Second half of verse 7. It says, "The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple." The statutes are trustworthy. The statutes of the Lord. We can trust God's Word. Why? Because it is consistently right. It is consistently correct. I mean, that's a byproduct of being perfect, isn't it? Of course it's going to be right. It's perfect. But the more time we spend in God's Word, and the more time we see this consistency, we learn that it is a dependable source of wisdom and of guidance. And I love this verse because it says that God's Word is so powerful it can make the simple wise. That's good news for me. I don't know about you. You know, and intelligence and wisdom, they're distinctly different qualities, aren't they? I've seen some really smart people, some really intelligent people that have been very unwise. On the other hand, I've seen some people with some pretty low IQs. Some people that haven't had a whole lot of education. But they have surprised me with the amount of wisdom that they've got. And what's really exciting is that you don't need intelligence to get wisdom from God's Word. Which is awesome. I mean, God's Word can make the simple, the basic, the ordinary man or woman wise. Someone thinks that's exciting. And I assure you, I mean, the times when I share wisdom, it's not because I've lived a long life. I'm a pretty young pup here. It's not because I'm incredibly intelligent. There are times I've got my moments, but, you know, we can't depend on those. Now, the times when you hear things that come from these lips that's wise, it's because God's Word has been planted in my heart, and it's the wisdom of God's Word that makes its way out of these lips. When you hear wisdom, that's where it comes from. That's the source. And I don't care how old I grow or how intelligent I may get. This is still going to be the source of my wisdom. It far surpasses any amount of wisdom that I could gain on my own. It is from God's trustworthy statutes that we can gain amazing wisdom. Continue in verse 8. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The precepts of the Lord are right. God's teachings, His instructions, they are correct. And that's the meaning of right. They are true. I like this one. They are accurate. You know, once again, this is another byproduct of being perfect. And the guidance we find in God's words, the teachings, the instructions, they're always right. That's one of the things that I share with you that I loved about Jesus. Jesus was always right. You never catch Jesus in the gospel saying, "Oops, my bad, I'm sorry. Let me go back. Let me restate this. Let me change my statement here. All right? Pull out an eraser. Let's fix this." You don't see him going back and saying, "Oh, you know, you caught me. I'm wrong." Never. He's always right. God's teachings, they always lead us to the right place, don't they? I mean, there are many times when I come into contact with something in the Scripture and I'm in the wrong place in the sermon. So I'll come back to that. Talking about being right, there are many times that I don't like to be wrong. How many in here like to be wrong? That's not a fun feeling, is it? I don't like to be wrong. Well, when I'm wrong, I'll admit it. Reluctantly. Sometimes stubbornly. My wife just smiled. But, seriously, if I'm wrong, I'll admit it. Eventually. But I don't like being wrong. There's no joy in being wrong, is there? I mean, not initially. It might lead to something if your wrongness helps to correct something. But there's no joy in being wrong. It's not fun. I remember a year ago when I went through the Dave Ramsey classes, which are going to be offered here in September. I remember sitting through those classes and being revealed a lot of things that I did wrong with my finances. I didn't handle my money well at all when we were young. Early in our marriage. And that wasn't fun to learn. That wasn't a joyful feeling. Today it's not a joyful feeling. So I'm still paying for those wrong decisions. But when we make good decisions, doesn't that bring a certain amount of joy? Doesn't that feel good to look back and say, "Man, I made a good decision there"? It brings joy in the moment and it brings joy for years to come. That's what this verse says about God's Word being right. His Word's right, and if we follow His Word, then it brings joy to our heart. If we ran every decision through the strainer of the precepts of God, the teachings of God, the instructions of God, then we would make right decisions, wouldn't we? And then we'd be able to experience this joy in the heart that we read about, that a lot of us read it and we say, "Well, that's pretty foreign to my life." Continue with the end of verse 8 there. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Commands of the Lord are radiant. You know, when I think of radiance, you know, the sun is one of the first things that pops in my head. You can't even look directly at the sun. If you do, then you've got that black spot in your, you know, a big flash. You know, as I obey God's commandments, I am constantly being reminded and being able to see the benefits of walking in that light. Walking in the light of His commandments, because you can see things that are in your way. You can see obstacles. Sometimes I'll come across things in God's Word and I'll say to myself, "Why is this here?" You know, or I'll come across something and say, "Why is God asking me to act this way or asking me to do this thing?" It just doesn't make sense to me at the time. But sooner or later, I realize the benefits of God's wisdom, God's commands that He gives to us, these radiant commands. And I either realize it because of one of two things. Either one, I realize it because I've obeyed them. I followed them, even though I didn't understand them, even though I didn't see how relevant they were, I obeyed them. I said, well, I guess I'll give this a shot. And I found out later that I avoided some obstacle or hardship. I saved myself some pain, some hurt, some heartache. Or I learned it the other way, which isn't fun. I'll learn something or read something. I'll say, well, that's probably not very important for me. Maybe that's for somebody else. We've done that before, haven't we? I'll find myself in a big mess. A lot of hurt, a lot of pain. And I'll realize, you know, if I'd have just listened to God's word, things would have been a lot better. This passage says it gives light to the eyes. It's like LASIK surgery for life, you know? And it takes our blurred vision of life and it focuses it down into something that's clear. I mean, God's word brings clarity to our lives. We have purpose. We have direction. We see the value in ourselves and we see the value in other people. Too many people are fumbling around in the dark without purpose, without guidance, without truth, without really living. How many of us are there? How many of us are fumbling around in the dark? Living life without purpose. Living life without guidance. Just kind of going through the motions. How many of us can say, man, I'm really living life. I feel great about my life. How many of us can say that last 24-hour period that I experienced was full of life? Everything I involved myself in was living. Unfortunately, I don't think that's many of us. Many of us are drained. You know, and we talk about the power of God's Word, and a lot of you might know the power of God's Word. You might have experienced it yourself. And these things that we've had up on the board, we got up on the board now that, you know, well, I knew all that stuff. You know, I want to ask us, if you know this stuff, are you hungry for it? When people die of starvation, I've been told that they stop feeling hungry. Once they start to starve, that those hunger pains disappear. My friends, don't let that happen. Don't starve yourself so much that you forget what the hunger feels like. That your starvation feels normal, because I guarantee you your starvation's not normal, it's dangerous. We need to be so very hungry. It's not good enough to just be hungry. We need to be so very hungry. I mean, this is God's Word. It revives the soul. It gives wisdom and accurate guidance. It's true. It's correct. It's perfect. It brings light to the eyes and joy to the heart. I know this to be true. That's why I shared with you what I did. I am a standing testimony of the power of God's Word. It reached in and grabbed me. And that's why I do what I do. That's why this is such a special book to me. I know what it can do. And I assure you that if you don't believe me, test it. Get into it. And I guarantee if you start digging in this word and you start eating it, you're going to develop a hunger for more. And my prayer this morning is that someday you'll be able to say, I am so very hungry. If I asked you, if a regular personal Bible study was an important part of the Christian walk. Well, I mean, let's take this a step further. That's a pretty normal Sunday school answer we'd get there. What if I asked you, is personal Bible study essential for growing closer to God? I believe many of us would respond with a resounding yes. Essential. That's a strong word. Essential for growing closer to God. So if you know the importance of personal Bible study in God's Word, then why does it just sit on your bedside table? Why does it collect dust with all the other dead books that are in your bookshelf when it's living? Why does it stay in your car only to be transported back to church a week later? If you know the power and the life and the wisdom and the light found in this book, then why aren't you hungry for it? What's happened to that hunger? If you know the power, if you know these things that are up on our screen, and you're not hungry, then I have to ask you a tough question. If you know, then is it because you just don't care? God created us in His very own image. No other creature has that option. We were created in His very own image to have a relationship with Him. Before sin, He walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. They sinned, they messed that up. We sin, we've messed that up. So Jesus Christ was sent by God to die on the cross for our sins. We've heard that many times. Is that real to you? He came to die for your sins so you could have a relationship with the Father. So you could have something real there. And in addition to all that, God left this book for us. This book full of power and life so that we could get to know Him. So that we could cultivate that relationship with Him. So that the ball was in our court. So that we would be living life that was fulfilling and joyful. I mean, that's what God wants from our lives. He wants to see us joyful people. He wants to see us living life that's fulfilling. So we would make wise decisions and so that our souls would be filled with life. This month, we're going to be talking about getting closer to God. God is moving in this church. I don't know if you feel it. I don't know if you've noticed it. But He's moving in this church, and I think He's going to move in some great ways. And I think He's moved many times in the past in this church. I think the problem was that the church wasn't ready to move with Him, quite frankly. If we want to be the church that God wants us to be, if we want to do the things that God wants us to do, if we want to be the children that God wants us to be, then it is absolutely essential for all of us to get as close to Him as we possibly can. That's the goal of being a Christian anyway. And if we want to get closer to God, then we are going to have to make personal Bible study a priority in our lives. It's going to have to move back up the top rung if it's fallen down. And if it's never been there, it's time to start moving things around. This is important to our lives because this is God's most concrete form of communication to His people. Now, I don't think it would be fair to stir emotions with you and ask you, are you so very hungry? Without giving you like a fork and a knife before we leave. All right, so if I can, I just want to share a little something with you. Maybe things have gotten stale in your Bible study. I'd like to leave you with some utensils. You're going to hear more and more about these Wednesday night, or actually they're going to be Sunday night classes, our fall program. You're going to look for life classes. All right, that's going to be a couple words that you're going to see just everywhere soon. And in those life classes, one of the life classes that they'll be starting in September is one of the classes called the Discovery class. And some of these utensils are from that class. So if this helps to fill that hunger in you and you realize, man, I really am so very hungry, I encourage you to sign up for one of those classes, one of the life classes coming up this fall. So here's some utensils that I'd like to give to you today. Some very simple, very plain. When you're in your personal Bible study time, whether it's in the morning or it's in the evening, or maybe you take your lunch break. When I worked a 9-to-5 job, that was my time to go out and have some personal Bible study time. And as you're reading, I don't want you to just read God's Word. I want you to experience it. I want you to eat it. I want you to be hungry for it. So as you're reading, I want you to ask some personal questions, and we're going to write these down real quick. So I want you to ask yourself, where does this touch me in my life? Take it personally. Don't read and say, oh, this would be good for Bill. All right? Where does this touch me in my life? You know, the Bible gives hope, so we want to ask the question, what hope does it give me? This passage that I just read, or this chapter that I just read, what hope is here for me? What knowledge do I gain? Then we want to ask, how can I grow from this truth? Because, I mean, that's the goal of Bible study, is to grow closer to God, is to mature. And so, in doing that, you want to ask yourself, what is here to guide me in righteousness? What is here to lead me into a path where I'm going to be living a better life for God? What insight or wisdom is here for me in life right now? God's word is applicable right now. I want you to look into that scripture and say, what can I grab from this? What kind of wisdom or insight can I use right now in my life? And how does this truth bring life to my soul? This book brings life. That'd be a good question to ask. And then underneath that, simply, how does this bring me closer to God? Closer to God. You know, we know that's what God wants. He wants an intimate, close relationship with us. There are many things that I can say I have no idea what God is thinking. I can't get into God's mind. He is amazing. There are a few very small things that I do understand, and I can say with 100% certainty, I know this is in God's mind. And it's this, that God wants a close relationship with each one of you. I know that's what He wants. We have to want it too. We have to participate in that.